Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
Well, we are about to experience the shortest span of daylight and the longest span of nighttime of this year. Are you ready? What do you mean, are you ready, I hear you ask. Well, scientists have identified a problem with short days and long nights. More to the point, a problem that occurs when we don't have enough exposure to the sun's rays. It's called seasonal affective disorder, and it could be messing with your mind in some rather unpleasant ways. Not only that, in just a week or two, we begin the month when many people choose to end their own lives. Are the two connected? Let's find out. Dr. Jennings, seasonal affective disorder, what exactly is it and how can we combat it during these short day months?
Well, seasonal affective disorder is a form of mood disorder or depression that is relegated to the cycles of the season. When the days get short and the nights get long, certain individuals are vulnerable to seasonal affective disorder. And the farther north we live in the latitudes of the northern hemisphere, we are more vulnerable to it because we have longer nights and shorter days in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. The reason for this is that our brain at night makes a hormone. This is the reason I'm about to give is what's as the leading theory. I'm not going to suggest this is 100% ironed out with all elements, but the leading theory in understanding seasonal affective disorder is that in the evening or at night, our brain makes a hormone called melatonin. And the melatonin is basically destroyed by light. And so during daytime, the melatonin is gone from our brain. At nighttime, the brain makes melatonin. Melatonin regulates sleep, regulates body temperature, and release the various hormones. And it's important in our overall sense of well-being. People with a seasonal affective disorder have been shown to overproduce melatonin, more melatonin than they should. And this disrupts the internal body clock, so our biorhythms get off, and leading to depression in the wintertime.
Now, when you say light destroys it, what if you turn the light on in your bedroom when you get up to go to the bathroom or something? Are you going to destroy the melatonin production?
Well, you know, the light that seems to be effective has to be sunlight or light as bright as the sun. So, or light having the right wavelength of light. And so, you know, the therapeutic lights are not the lights in the house. They're not bright enough. They have to have 10,000 lux is what's been shown to be therapeutic. And the person needs to sit in front of that light, generally 20 to 30 minutes in the morning before 7 a.m., before the sun comes up, 20 to 30 minutes a day during the seasons of short days and long nights. And this exposure to light actually does change the melatonin release in the brain and helps keep the biorhythms in a stable way.
I think I have seen bottles of melatonin someplace. Is that possible that you could have an herb called melatonin or something?
Yeah, that's true. Melatonin is actually a normal hormone produced by the brain, and it can be helpful for people with sleep disorders that they can take melatonin in the evenings about 3 hours before bedtime, and it will help promote sleep. And people with various sleep shift phase disorders where they're sleeping from 3 a.m. till noon, so they're sleeping enough hours, but their sleep has shifted forward. If they take melatonin in the evening and light in the morning, that will shift their phase back. So melatonin can be helpful along those lines. But so we're not talking about taking melatonin. I don't know of any data that would suggest that taking melatonin to help you sleep contributes to seasonal affective disorder. I don't think that's a relationship at all. Okay. This is people who biologically overproduce and therefore have disruptions in their biorhythms. And the symptoms of seasonal affective disorder of depression include not only depressed mood, irritability, hopelessness, worry, anxiety, loss of energy, social withdrawal, oversleeping. That people feel like they want to hibernate. And some people actually speculate that they have an evolutionary view of things, that this is some residual thing from our evolutionary history, because people will want to oversleep. They'll sleep 12, 14, 16 hours a day. They will have changes in appetite. Well, they will crave carbohydrate foods, and they will generally gain weight during this time. And they have difficulty concentrating and performing simple tasks. So this is symptomatic of seasonal affective disorder.
But did Adam and Eve, you don't know, but can you speculate, did Adam and Eve have this melatonin-serotonin balancing going on in their lives?
Well, I got to tell you, our bodies, and this is a whole other can of worms you just opened up when you compare us to how God created Adam and Eve,
yes.
Our human genome is infected with a whole bunch of non-human genetic material. So probably half of the human gene, 50% of the genetic material in our DNA appears to not be human in origin. Let's put it that way. Seems to be animal or viral type DNA that has infected the human genome. So it's very difficult to do a direct comparison. And this is why I think humanity has so many commonalities between the animal kingdom and ourselves. I think it has to do with a lot of the genetic material has infected the human gene pool, and I don't think it was that way in origin.
A lot of people, when they can't sleep, and I have to put myself in that category from time to time when I can't sleep, you know, we sit there or lay there with our eyes open looking at the ceiling, thinking about stuff, thinking about a problem, thinking about a situation, thinking about a plan, and we think it's the situation, the stuff, and the plan that's keeping us awake, but it may not be. Is that what I hear you saying?
Well, this isn't typically a seasonal affective disorder, what you just described. Seasonal affective disorder are hypersomnic. They sleep too much. They're not having trouble sleeping. They're sleeping 16, 14, 12 hours a day, and they're tired all the time. It's not the anxious, worried, inability, insomniac depression that people get throughout the year. This is a different thing. And it has to do with this overproduction of melatonin, which will make you very sleepy.
Now, in the daytime, you get out there, and the sun is shining bright on those days when it is, and you walk to your car, and you walk from the car to your office. Are you getting enough of the brightness there to start to stop the melatonin?
Well, no. I mean, it's just the days aren't long enough. You need more light than that, okay? The days aren't long enough. And so the therapy has to have, like I said, 10,000 lux light, 30 minutes before 7 o'clock, and you have to be 18 to 24 inches away from the light. Now, you don't have to stare straight at it, but it has to be able to shine on your face.
Okay, all right. And these lights work, you say, because I've seen them advertised in different magazines. They're called sad lights. So they work.
They do work if they do have the proper lux. Yes, they do.
10,000 lux. Okay, 10,000 lux. All right, well, okay. There you go, listener. If you happen to be a person who is suffering from SAD, and if you happen to know someone who is, what a nice Christmas present. Go off to, I guess you can buy these things.
Actually, yeah, you can buy them over the counter. You don't need a prescription for them, but I recommend if you think you have this problem, you do need to check with your physician and work with your physician to treat this, because too much light, if you use one of these lights and you get too much exposure and you spend, 30 minutes is good, I'll do an hour, do an hour and a half. You can actually induce mania and
goodness.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, you don't want to, you really want to work with your doctor in conjunction if you're vulnerable to this. So we don't want to just tell people to go out and buy lights and sit in front of them.
But 30 minutes is pretty safe, you're thinking, for most people?
I'm not prescribing anyone to get the light and sit in front of it.
Okay.
I'm just telling
all
you
right.
What is the standard recommended for people with seasonal affective disorder. You usually start 20 to 30 minutes in the morning.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. Very good. Well, let's open the phone lines for questions and comments on today's topics. They are open now at 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. You know, it seems, Dr. Jennings, to be counterintuitive to talk about depression during Christmas season, when all the lights are bright and all the wrappings are on the presents and the trees are shimmering. But a lot of people face this season with a degree of apprehension and actual depression. Is it the season? Is it what happened before the season? What is it that brings people to Christmas and they have this moment of extreme sadness looking at all this beautiful stuff?
multiple different factors, and every individual case is different, but they can have multiple factors coming on them. For instance, the changing of the light cycles. Even people without seasonal affective disorder may find that they're not as energetic, may find that they don't just feel as well, they don't feel as chirpy, so forth as they would during the summertime. They just feel like doing more, and they're up and getting out. And part of that is maybe because of the light cycles. Their sleep cycles. Part of it is a lot of people who are active are less active in the wintertime because of the cold days. They stop their running, they stop their hiking, they stop their boating, canoeing, outdoor activities they do, which gives them, and we know physical exercise is healthy for the brain and is antidepressant benefits and mood stabilizing benefits. So the more sedentary lifestyle that may occur in the wintertime. There's also oftentimes people will change their dietary habits in winter, particularly around the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. There's a whole increase for many people in sweets and high carb foods and in calories, and this can have effect on mood. And then we also know that at holiday seasons, it's a time when families come together, and families, while they can be a great blessing, can also be a great cursing. There are many family dynamics, family stressors. It can be reminders of previous broken relationships if wounds have not healed. They can bring confrontations, unresolved issues with family members that you really can just put off and ignore all season long. Now at Christmas time, you come together. You're reminded of inadequacies, of losses, of shortcomings. I mean, so it can dig up lots of psychological issues that lay dormant throughout the year. It can be dug up during this time. There can be disappointment there. So there can be a whole confluence of factors that work on a person at this time of season that contribute to depression.
All right. Well, we're going to have a break coming up in just a minute here, and then I want to go back to these little lists here. You gave us four items. I want to go back and unpack them slightly to find out. We know what the problem is. Now we want to find out what we can do, how to stay active, what we eat, how we can deal with family situations, and how we can handle the disappointments, and what we can do during this season to turn this around so that the holiday season can be a happy one for us. Our phone lines are open at 800-775-4673, and I also want to invite you, listener, if you are a Facebooker, you have a real treat waiting for you. I want you to go onto your Facebook account. I want you to do a search for Come and Reason. That's the ministry Dr. Jennings heads, Come and Reason. And I want you to start looking right there on the profile page and start reading a paraphrase of the New Testament that Dr. Jennings is putting up. It is very eye-opening to see so clearly what God had in mind for us, and if you understand God, you understand His words, and this is a wonderful way of doing that. Dr. Jennings has taken the Bible and clarified as we went along, didn't change anything, per se, as far as the message is concerned, but the character of God has become made clear in this paraphrase. So if you're a Facebooker, check it out at Come and Reason. Like it, become a friend, and enjoy. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat.
Did you know that Americans are getting heavier by the year? This is causing major health problems, as this extra tissue is now named the endocannabinoid system. This extra weight or fat makes chemicals which raise our blood pressure, raise our blood sugar, causes stress chemicals to be released, all which damage our body. Now, there are many different pharmaceuticals which block these different chemicals, but the real answer is to get back at this system by losing weight, exercise, get a good diet, be active. When we do this, we'll be getting back to the biblical prescription of good health. So try to beat the endocannabinoid system.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome to Happy Hank's Hamburger Heaven. May I take your order?
Let me have a double cheeseburger, no onions, medium fries, and a Diet Sprite. Plus, I'm lost. I need some directions if you can help me.
Thank you. That's a double cheeseburger minus the onions, medium fries, Diet Sprite, and enrollment in the Discover Bible Course.
I'm sorry, what?
The Discover Bible Course. You said you wanted directions in life.
No, just to the 101 freeway.
I know. But this is even better. With a Discover Bible Course, you'll know where you're going for eternity. You'll never be lost again. You'll drive down the freeway with a whole new purpose in life.
Okay, I'll try it.
That comes to $4.72 for the food. The Discover Bible Course is free. please pay at the window.
Thanks.
For your own set of personal directions to eternal life, call 800-775-4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings. And we're talking about you, listener. I hope you don't mind. We're talking about you. If you are someone who is having a little trouble with the holidays, perhaps you are looking around at the lights and all the tinsel and all the Christmas music and you're saying, bah, humbug. So we're going to talk about that. Dr. Jennings, before the break, you outlined four areas that we could address if we're having a little bah humbug Christmas. Number one is the need to be active. You mentioned in the summertime we're out in the gardening and we're running around and bicycling and whatnot. But in the wintertime, we're sort of, especially in lately, we're sort of closed up in our houses. What are some of the active things we can do in a house that'll help us?
Get an exercise machine inside your house if you can. I think that would be a nice thing to do. And there's lots of different inside exercise machines, but physical exercise you still need to do. And so if you can't do it in the house and you've got to find a way to do it outside, but the body needs exercise. And if we stop exercising, there's a physical and psychological and mental health price to pay.
Well, I got a suggestion here. And Dr. Jennings, think what you think. Get a dog. And the reason I say that is when we got a dog, we found that our walking increased tremendously because the dog doesn't want to skip a day of going outside. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Jennings?
Well, you know, dogs aren't for everyone. I think if people have dogs and have to take them for a walk, but a lot of people just open the door, let the dog run out, and they don't ever walk it themselves. It just runs
that's
around the yard and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to take the dog for a walk, that's a possibility, but a lot of people don't like dogs. And so, you know, if it's for you, I think it could be a great thing, but it's not for everybody.
That's true. All right. So anyway, get something that it's so hard, Dr. Jennings. Sometimes you want to sit there, the fire is crackling and the house is warm and you want your favorite television program is coming up and there's that exercise machine sitting over there. How do we motivate ourselves to get ourselves over to that machine and start pedaling?
That's a good question. I think everybody has to evaluate that for themselves and look at motivation is a key. How do we motivate ourselves? One of the, I think, important things would be to turn off the TV. Nobody's going to do it that's listening, I don't think, but get rid of your TVs. Get the TVs out of the house, and just that alone will result in increasing physical activity. The TV is probably the number one factor in sedentary lifestyle in America. And if people got rid of their TVs, they'd exercise more just because the mind needs to be active. And what happens is we're vicariously active. Our mind is being active by watching TV, but our bodies are no longer active. Getting rid of the TV, we'll start doing things rather than watching things.
In other words, that action movie where the guy runs across the field is not burning any calories in your body whatsoever.
Well, now that's not exactly true. Our brains burn 20% of the body's calories.
Oh, there
so,
you go.
So when our brains are active, we are using energy. However, we are using energy, but it's not about just caloric burn. When our brains are active, the muscles aren't producing the anti-inflammatory factors. We're not producing the endorphins. We're not producing the enkephalins and all the other good health promoting, neurotrophic factors that happen when we're exercising. So we don't get the good antidepressant benefits, and we don't get as much of a calorie burn when we.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. One thing that's helped me, Dr. Jennings, is I look at the alternative. I look at the real payoff for what I'm doing in my life. If I am sitting there watching television, I say, okay, what's the payoff of this? Well, maybe I'm learning something on the television. That's good. Then it's worth my sitting here if I'm learning something. So whatever we do in life, I think that we need to just remember the payoff. What is this going, how is this going to benefit me in the days and months to come? Is this a good way of thinking, Dr. Jennings?
Well, you know, that can be very beneficial, pros and cons, and people often see those benefits, those payoffs, but that doesn't often motivate. I have a lot of patients who, for instance, smoke. And they see the negative consequences. They see the payoff of how much money they would save every day, $4.50 a pack of cigarettes a day they would save. They see the payoff of better health and breathing easier and all, but they still don't quit. So motivating oneself. I know a lot of people with eating issues and obesity, and that see the payoff of having better physical health, but the pain and the suffering of going through the change in the lifestyle is often a bigger hurdle than they're willing to go over.
Yeah. Is it Is it necessary, Dr. Jennings, for you as a medical professional, as a psychiatrist, to sometimes just sort of wash your hands and dust take the dust off your sandals and move on? For some people, they just can't change?
Well, the way you say that is kind of harsh, but the reality is with every patient, I recognize their autonomy, their individuality, and their ability to accept and apply the things I share with them that will get them healthy, or to reject and deny and non-comply with those things. So every one of us has our own free will, and we can participate in a healing plan or we can reject a healing plan. So sure, there are patients that no matter what we do, aren't willing to make the choices to actually get well. But that's true not just for psychiatry. There are many patients going to primary care doctors, and the primary care doctors will tell you that they plead and they beg and they holler, but these patients won't make choices to improve their lifestyle. I know somebody that just a week ago had a heart attack and three strokes in between the times that I saw him in 3 months. Heart attack, three strokes in 3 months, still smoking a pack of cigarettes a day.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I guess what I'm trying to say is to our listeners that really we are in charge. We don't have to look to a doctor or a pastor or a parent. We are in charge. We're the ones who make the final decision. And the reason I'm saying that is that if it doesn't work out for you, don't blame the doctor. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame the parent. Look to yourself under these circumstances that's the motivation for me. If I'm in charge of myself, if I am the final say in what happens in my life, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to love myself enough to take care of myself. And that works as a motivation for me, Dr. Jennings.
Well, I think that's a very healthy approach to actually take that adult mature responsibility and say, I'm going to do what I can do with the knowledge that I have, make decisions that are healthy in their plan and intent, but also acknowledge that there are things outside of my control. And even making all the best decisions, living a healthy lifestyle, I can't guarantee how things will come out. There are toxins in our environment. There are radiation exposures like a Three Mile Island that people don't know about and so forth and so on. But I'm going to do what's in my power to keep myself as healthy as I can.
I like that. I like that. The other item you mentioned, the second item you mentioned in that list of helping ourselves through these dark and sometimes depressed moods of Christmas is diet. You're saying that we eat lots of sugars and fats and whatnot, and all these foods are very delicious and wonderful, but they may not be in our best interest. What would you recommend we do?
Yeah, I think eating a more of a whole food diet with natural whole foods like fruits, nuts, grains, vegetables, moving in a diet in that direction. The healthier diet you eat, the healthier your brain, making sure you're getting good B vitamins, good omega-3 fatty acids, often from fish oil for the omega-3 fatty acids, I think are actually, the science would show are more readily abundant and helpful for the brain from that source. Additionally, let's see. Well, I had another thought, and I just lost that thought, Charles.
You need some omega-3, Dr. Jennings. Go out and get some fish oil for Dr. Jennings. We're talking with Dr. Jennings.
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Do.
I know what I was going to say.
Back.
Okay,
it was
in the wintertime, short days, vitamin D. Vitamin
yes.
D in
yes.
people in northern hemispheres are often lacking, and this can have profound effects on physical and mental health. And so it would be appropriate to have your doctor check your vitamin D levels, and if necessary, take vitamin D supplements. Now, vitamin D can be toxic if you overtake it, so you need to work with your doctor on how you're supplementing your vitamin D. But vitamin D, in the darker your skin, the more likely you're going to have deficiencies of vitamin D. Because vitamin D is made from sunlight, and in the summertime, bright light, we generally don't have this difficulty. But in the wintertime, it's very common for people to have vitamin D deficiencies, and there's emerging evidence that this also affects mood.
Okay. All right. So you're saying more whole foods and check your vitamin D levels. That sounds like a plan to me. The third item here, families coming together, and sometimes it's not all that festive when we come together. We did a show on this one just a couple weeks ago. Let's do a short version right here. What is the best way for us to handle those family members during the time we're with them when we would rather them not be there?
I think that allowing each person to be free to be themselves and not taking personally their attitudes and their actions. In other words, as Christ said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings forth good out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings forth evil of the evil stored up in him. Learning how to recognize the actual nature and heart quality of the people you're dealing with as evidence of who they are, and not be taking it personal when they act ugly, say stupid things, and are hurtful in the way they behave.
Boy, that is important to know. I know in my experience, I've run across people that I thought, my, what is this person? Where is they coming from? But if you stop and listen to them, if you really study them for a moment and you realize that they are a child of God, and if you start looking at them through the eyes of God, a very different person emerges in your mind. Dr. Ding, is this a good way of doing it?
Well, this child of God thing that you brought up, there are two ways that we are children of God. We're children of God by creation. Mm-hmm. So all intelligent life in the universe are children of God by creation. That includes Satan. Satan's a child of God by creation.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But then there are child of God by, does the scripture use the term adoption in New Testament, or child of God by conversion. In other words, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, you think you're a descendant of Abraham, or Abraham's your father. If you were Abraham's children, you would love me. No, you're of your father, the devil. And so we can have parentage, not of biology or creation, but we can have parentage of character. Who are we like in heart? Hey, do we look like our father in heaven in heart? So we are children of the father because we have his character in our heart. That's another way to be children of God. So we're all children of God by creation or biology because he created us, but not all of us are children of God in heart. And so when we look at other people, sometimes these people are not children of God. As Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. And there are people, and some of us have family members, I hate to say, like this. And I'm an advocate. I'm one of these people that believe in free will and the freedom for you to be able to say, you know what? Life is short, and I am tired of having my holidays turn into noxious and toxic environmental stressors, and I'm just not going to hang out with this particular family member this Christmas. And if they're going to be there, I'm going to come at another time. I'm an advocate for that. I think that that's okay.
All right. Well, that sounds like a plan. Very good. We have one more here. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break. We want to know how to deal with the disappointments of the year. When we come to the Christmas season and we are supposed to be festive, but we've lost our job, someone has been mean to us, we've had a financial downturn, and we're looking at the Christmas season and we're supposed to be festive. Maybe I'm looking at the Christmas season wrong. What is exactly are we supposed to do during the Christmas season? Let's find out on the other side of our break as we talk to Dr. Jennings, Christian psychiatrist and author. I want to remind you also, listener, of a website, comeandreason.com. You could check that out. He has a wonderful blog there. I love reading his blogs. There's also a blog there about Christmas. Check it out. You want to read that too. You can look at the program archives for copies of this program you're listening to right now. Other resources available, including his book, Could It Be This Simple? Also, like I say, if you're a Facebooker, check out the Come and Reason fan page. We'll be right back.
When it comes to radio, one thing you never want to hear is dead air. Usually means some power failure, equipment malfunction, satellite outage.
Funny thing's been happening on our fan page on
Facebook.
Dedicated
people who serve this station do all they can to provide a continuous flow of the finest in programming. But then you already knew that. That's why you're listening. But do you have any idea how long 3 seconds is? Hardly even worth considering, is it? But for just 3 seconds, listen to dead air and realize the impact. With absolutely nothing going on, it seems like a long time, doesn't it? But think what it would be like if this radio station were completely silent. Through your faithful prayers, interest, and support, and by God's grace, this voice for the gospel will not be silent, even for 3 seconds. But your personal participation is always vital. So, thanks for making this station such an invaluable part of your life. Thanks for your support.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host. I'm here with Dr. Jennings, and I don't think too many people are singing "I'm Dreaming of a Sad Christmas," but a lot of people are experiencing one right now, and one of the reasons is that they have faced some real downturns in their life during the last 12 months. Dr. Jennings, sometimes when you are feeling really sad about your life, when you're feeling bad about loss of job, you almost feel that if you're happy, you're being untrue to yourself. Does that make sense at all?
I've actually seen that more common in people who've lost a loved one. And they find themselves at some point in the grief process, a situation happens, and they actually enjoyed the situation, and right in the middle they're laughing, and they realize, oh, but my loved one's not here, and then they feel bad that they like they shouldn't actually be happy because they're in the middle of a grief situation.
So we are giving everyone permission, basically, to have a good time this season. Am I right?
I don't know what you mean by that. Have a good time.
Just in case there are people saying, you know, I really shouldn't be happy because I'm sad. I really shouldn't be happy because
happiness and having a good time are two different things. Joy and having a good time are two different things. So I'm not sure what you mean by that. People may appropriately need to be crying this Christmas. If you just had your child die today in a car wreck, what's Christmas going to be like for you? The appropriate experience would be to be crying this Christmas and be sad.
So keep it appropriate. You used that word a couple of times, appropriate. I think sometimes, Dr. Jennings, we're not sure what is appropriate. Can you help us with appropriate? What does that mean exactly?
What is appropriate would be what is consistent with with reality. And of course, reality depends on certain perspective. When you have a child die, there's the reality of that child's loss. But at the same time, from a spiritual perspective, you can actually see it, the reality that God has conquered death and he holds the key to it. And that's not the end. And you're going to see your child again. So in the face of the grief, there can also be joy in knowing that death has been conquered by Christ as your Savior. So you can have both going on simultaneously.
And on the other end of the spectrum, if someone has lost his job or her job and facing a real financial downturn, or if the business has gone under, to be sad at Christmas time may not be appropriate. Being happy at Christmas time, being joyful, enjoying the season may be okay. A lot of people are looking, Dr. Jennings, as you know, a lot of people are looking for permission to be who they are, to feel how they feel. And we want to be able to provide that permission to them, because a lot of people are feeling guilty about how they feel. And you're saying that let's make sure that what we're feeling is appropriate to what's going on in our lives and not inappropriate. And I think it's an important thing to say.
Well, I didn't exactly say all that, but feelings are, in my approach, feelings are notoriously unreliable to be basing our frame of reference and our belief system and our conclusions and our decisions upon. Feelings are very vacillating. They change from moment to moment based on even the foods we eat, sleep deprivation, a comment somebody makes. Our feelings can be all over the place. So I generally, feelings are supposed to be a caboose on the train, not the engine of the train. They're not to lead where we go, but they're part of the experience. And so we have all kinds of feelings, but feelings are to be examined by our good judgment to understand why we're feeling the way we're feeling, not to actually, and so to say, well, people need to be given permission to feel the way they feel. Well, they need to be given permission to have feelings. Okay, but the way they feel, they might need to address and say, no, this is not the way I need to feel. I need to address this feeling's completely inappropriate. I'm feeling guilty because blah, 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 and that's inappropriate guilt, and that feeling is wrong. I need to address that with the truth and say, wait a minute, what's the truth here? The truth is thus and so. I'm feeling guilty because my spouse left me for another person, and I'm feeling guilty, and I'm feeling inadequate, and I'm feeling like I should have been more attractive, and I'm feeling like, well, see, those feelings are all wrong. No, I don't need to feel those things. I have permission to feel like I'm a loser because my spouse left me for somebody else. I need to bring the truth into bear and say, wait a minute, hold on. If my spouse left me for somebody else, that's evidence of their character and their failing and their lack of commitment and their unwillingness to work through a problem. It's not an evidence of who I am any more than when Lucifer left God's loyalty, that it was an evidence of some deficiency in God. So I need to bring the truth to bear and experience a sadness, a disappointment, a hurt, but not guilt, not inadequacy. So I don't want to give people permission to feel what they feel. I want to give people permission to have feelings, but to evaluate and examine those feelings in light of truth and clarify and then bring healing as the truth heals. Feelings don't heal. Truth heals.
I like that. 800-775-4673. If you have a question or comment, Dr. Jennings is always happy to talk to you today. 800-775-4673. Which brings us to the other thing I wanted to talk about on our program today, Dr. Jennings, and that is that during January, you have mentioned several times that there is an uptick in people offing themselves, and you would think that would happen during the holiday season, but it really doesn't. You surprised me when you told me that it happens in January. Why do you think that is?
My hypothesis, and I'm not sure if we have good science on the reason for this, is that that after the holidays, as you just got done saying, that the days got shortest here in late December. So we're going to be maximizing seasonal affective disorder issues. We're going to be maximizing sedentary lifestyle issues. We've just finished the holiday, which brings a certain brightness of a psychological brightness with Christmas time and the happy, cheerful songs and the friendliness and people helping others and the Christmas spirit that keeps people going. And then we come into January, which is still dark, dreary, cold, and there's no more holiday cheer, and it's really the bleak time of year. And I think that often leaves people with a sense of discouragement.
Well, okay, if that is the case, what words of wisdom would you share with those who may be sort of spiraling down toward that January darkness?
Step back and examine the truth. What are the facts? You mentioned earlier about losing job and getting discouraged. Again, it's all perspective, perspective, perspective. You're losing a job. Do you know what the future holds? Do you know what tomorrow is going to bring? Do you know if you're going to get a better job tomorrow? Do you know if you're going to have somebody hand you a lottery ticket and you win $10 million tomorrow? Do we know what the future holds? We don't, except we do know the ultimate future, that Christ is coming back and we're going to have an eternal security. But on earth, we sometimes, because of an event today, let our imagination run wild and draw conclusions that negative event today suddenly has painted a negative path for the unfolding of our lives forever and to perpetuity. Rather than allowing for the reality that, yeah, this is a negative event today, but you know what? Tomorrow, good things could happen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
You have mentioned on the show several times that negative feelings, or the fears and the anxieties that we have, actually affect us physically in the brain. Is that right? I mean, there's actually something going on up there that's different.
When we're afraid?
Different hormones, different neurons being made, that anxiety and fear actually causes a physical change in our brain. Am I on the right track?
Not just in our brain. Anxiety and fear activate a stress pathway, and it's just stress. Yeah. People think about when you're stressed. That's a form of fear or anxiety. And when you're stressed, you get the whole adrenaline surge. You get the release of all the inflammatory factors. Inflammation kicks up. And over the course of time, this actually wears out physical and mental energy, causes increasing risk of inflammatory diseases, heart disease, diabetes, and ultimately does cause negative changes in the brain that leads to depression.
So here we are with this altered brain. Does it change back real fast? I mean, some people say, well, oh, things are better now. Why aren't I feeling just really great? Is it because we have to rebuild what's been broken down in our brain? If things turn around in our lives?
It depends. I mean, these changes don't happen in a moment. the type of changes I'm talking about. So if you had a stressful event today and tomorrow something good happens, you haven't really caused a major change in your physical and mental well-being. But if you've had a persistent ongoing stress, anxiety, worry that goes on day in, day out, then these changes do come. And then when good things begin to happen, it does take time. That's why people come to see me with depression. They don't get well in a day. It takes weeks. It's a slow, gradual improvement as things begin to heal.
I guess I wanted to make sure that we have the proper expectations of what it's like to recover from a time of down. If you get a new job, suddenly you have income coming in, but it may take a little bit longer for that depression that's been there for months and months, and the fear that's been there that's actually changed you, to be overcome until new brain patterns can be developed. Is this right?
Well, I think we're always looking to move ourselves in healthy directions. And one of the things that we have to be vigilant against is negative thought patterns and negative coping patterns, and trying to replace those unhealthy ones with healthy ones.
There you go. All right. It's so important that we understand how we operate. And I like that about this program. It helps us understand that there are some time that has to go by sometimes. There are feelings that are appropriate, inappropriate. This is good stuff. I'm enjoying this. Our phone lines are open, 800-775-4673. If you have a question or comment on this topic, 800-775-4673. We're facing a new year. The new year begins. Things are picking up pretty good. How do we fortify ourselves, Dr. Jennings? How do we fortify our minds to accept what's coming?
The things that can help us are having a healthy spirituality, which is a perspective that is more than just what's happening in the moment. Seeing that there is a reality beyond this momentary reality. That is helpful. Establishing healthy relationships, family and friends, people that care about you and you care about them, that can encourage and support you. Establishing routines. Actually, routines bring a sense of security, bring a sense of peace. So establish healthy habit patterns and routines for your day and for your activities can bring a sense of stability and security. Physical exercise, we mentioned, regular sleep, good diet, all these things help us have more resilience to handle stress and cope with problems. So healthy relationships, healthy spirituality, healthy physical health, all these things that we do give us greater resilience to deal with the stressors of life. And then perspective change.
This routine idea, let me just stop here just for a moment. Routine. If someone is out of work, and there are a lot of people right now out of work, should that person get up at the same time, eat breakfast at the same time, go do something at the same time? Should there be a routine to someone that's out of work? Because usually they just sit around.
Yes. Actually, this can contribute to depression. If they get out of their routines, it actually changes the biorhythms. They can end up sleeping more. They get different hormone and brain neurotransmitter shifts that can occur. The science shows that people who sleep more than 9 hours a day actually die earlier, less productive, less successful, have more mental health problems than people who sleep 7 to 9 hours a day.
Okay, as a freelance producer such as I am, we have times when we have a lot of work, times we have no work, but I'm always working, and that I think is helpful. I get up and I do my work, and if I don't have work to do that day, I read a book on work, I learn a new piece of software. In other words, I keep going. And if someone is out of work right now, listener, if that is you, Dr. Jennings is saying, you know, get up, eat your breakfast, do something, look for a job, do something to increase your talents, your skills, take a short course on the internet. In other words, don't stop working when you're out of work. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Jennings?
Yes, and work doesn't have to be for pay. Work is an engagement in industry in which you apply yourself to some activity or goal that you have an investment in. And it can be volunteer work, it can be work around your own house, and there's a sense of accomplishment that comes. One of the worst things we do in society is by putting people who are capable on some type of subsistence for an indefinite period of time. There's nothing wrong with helping people during the gaps to get back onto their own feet. But when we give people subsistence for indefinite period of time, it actually is very destructive to people psychologically. It undermines our sense of well-being, our sense of confidence, our sense of worth. We get increasing guilt. And oftentimes this leads to symptoms of various kinds, so people can feel justified for collecting the money that they're not actually earning. So it's a very destructive pattern when we put people on some type of social welfare who have the capacity, and I want to be very clear here, people who have the capacity to be self-determining and self-productive. I'm not talking about people with genuine inabilities here.
Yes, absolutely.
And just think about, listener, think about your own example. Think about right now if you ended up in a circumstance where you lost your home and you had a family member, say a brother or sister, and you went to live in their home. Now, while you would appreciate it, think about if you're living in their home and not providing anything. You're not paying anything. You're not helping out. You're not doing something to contribute to the upkeep, and they're just providing for you. What happens to your sense of well-being if you're an adult over time? It undermines it. You feel inadequate. You feel worthless. You feel like a burden to people. You feel guilty. It's very destructive to give to people who have the capacity. We need to have people need to be able to contribute to their own well-being, and it's very healthy psychologically for that.
All right, fantastic. 800-775-4673, 800-775-4673. Never say you're out of work. Just say, well, I'm self-employed right now. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you're a parent, the obedience of your children is vital. If you're a manager at work, the obedience of your employees is extremely important to get the job accomplished. In the military, obedience to an order given can be a matter of life or death. As we travel through life, we all face times when we simply have to be obedient, especially to those truths found in God's Word. You don't hear too much these days about the Ten Commandments, but being obedient to those words given by God Himself is a way to a more rewarding and stress-free life. After all, if we don't obey what the Creator of the universe tells us, what precedent is there to listen to a fellow human being? No matter who you are or how important you are in the world's eyes, being obedient to God's Word is simply rule number one. Remember the words of that old hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey."
From Life Talk Radio.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft involves acquiring key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, date of birth, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. Often the identity thief steals mail to get information to apply for credit cards, to order personal checks, or to obtain existing account information. To avoid this crime, the Postal Service offers these tips. Promptly remove incoming mail from your mailbox. Don't deposit outgoing mail from an unsecured mailbox, and don't give out passwords, PIN numbers, or account numbers. Memorize them and don't write them down where they can be found. For more information, log on to www.consumer.gov/ncpw. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. As always, our phone lines are open. We must be doing a pretty good job of covering the subject, Dr. Jennings, because people aren't calling us right now. Well, that's okay if we are covering it for you. But if there is something we're not saying, some question that I am not asking, you know, I can ask the question. I love asking questions. But if there's something that you want to know that I'm not covering, I want you to pick up the phone right now and call 800-775-4673. Won't bother me in the slightest. That's what we're here for. 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, I always am concerned about young people facing this world. We've talked about some of the challenges that we face as we're older. How do we prepare a young mind for this life? How do we get in there and let them know that they are in charge, they are of value, they can do things no matter what the world does to them? How do we make independent thinkers out of children who have had people telling them what to do all their lives? Before you answer that, let's go right to our phone lines and talk to Lily in California. Lily has a question for us. Lily, what's on your heart today?
I would like to know if I'm depressed or if I have a sleeping problem.
Okay. Dr. Jennings?
A lot of what you've talked on your program, I feel like is part of me. I do all kinds of things to stay out of depression. I got notes different places in the house, and I got different reminders. One of them is, no one is useless to God.
How old are you, Lily?
I'm 77.
77. And have you had depression sometime earlier in your life?
I never thought of it of depression if I had it.
Well, the depression is actually a physical illness of the brain. in which we have symptoms that are not just a depressed or sad mood, but we lose energy, we don't concentrate as well, our motivation is down, things don't seem to be as pleasurable as normal, we can have change in sleep, change in appetite, we may actually may get aches and pains all over our body and hurt all over. These are the symptoms. We can have discouraging or pessimistic thinking. We may even ruminate about, I just wish God would hurry up and come and take me home. I don't even want to go on anymore. This type of hopelessness can happen. And this actually can happen to people who've never had depression in their life, when they get older in life because of the changes that happen when we get older.
That sounds like me.
Yes, so it sounds to me that you very well may have depression. And if you do, this is very treatable. I have many patients who've never had depression come to see me late in life. And we put them on the proper treatment, and the amazing transformation in their life. Their energy, they feel good again, they're happy. So I encourage you to go to see someone. A couple of things to, if you have a pen and paper, write this down.
Okay.
Okay. Omega-3 fatty acids. It's real important you get on omega-3s. Talk with your doctor about it. They're essential brain nutrients that the neurons need. And then
I don't care for the fish oil, so I use flaxseed.
Well, flaxseed, there's a problem with the flaxseed, and that is that less than 5% of it gets converted into the form that your brain needs. And if you're having omega-6s in your diet from corn and wheat and other things, they compete and they'll even reduce the conversion to the form your brain needs to even a lower percentage than 5%. So you may need to get the fish oils because you may not be getting or you can try and find a source from seaweed sources that might be high in the DHA, but you need omega-3s that have DHA. Just write down DHA and look on the bottle, but that's what you need, omega-3s with DHA. You also need, write this down, C-E-R-E-F-O-L-I-N-N-A-C. That's a branded nutrient called serifolin NAC, and it has L-methyl folate, which is the metabolized version of folic acid, which is beneficial for the neurons to make the various neurotransmitters. And it has a stable N-acetylcysteine, which stabilizes the mitochondrial membranes, which are the energy-producing organelles inside your neurons. So you want those two nutrients. Talk to the doctor about the second one. I also
Could you spell that one more time, Dr. Jennings, for us?
C-E-R-E-F-O-L-I-N, capital N-A-C. Okay, and then I encourage you to start eating a handful of raw almonds a day.
I've been eating handfuls of walnuts.
Okay, add some raw almonds in. Drink a glass of pomegranate juice a day, real 100% pomegranate juice. These are all the nutritional things you can do. And then go to see your doctor to get on an antidepressant. And he needs to work with you to choose one, but you should tell him, my experience is that in late-life depression, this happens because of microvascular changes that damage the white matter of your neurons, and you need something that's going to kick up norepinephrine. If you can write down N-O-R-E-P-I-N-E-P-H-R-I-N-E, norepinephrine. And tell him that there are different antidepressants that will increase that, and he will know which one those are, and you can work with him in doing that. Okay.
Does that help with sleep?
Actually, if you're having sleep trouble, I would recommend you talk to him about a medicine called mirtazapine. M-I-R-T-A-Z-I-P-I-N-E, mirtazapine. It will help increase norepinephrine. It will help you sleep at night. It works very good in the patients that are past 65 who have never had depression before.
Well, I've always had problems with sleep. I can't sit down without falling asleep.
Oh, you sleep too much.
Sleep too much.
Yeah.
Or do you have trouble sleeping at night?
That too. I don't get REM sleep.
Okay.
I sleep 3 hours and wake up, get up and go to the bathroom. Sometimes I go back to sleep and sometimes I don't.
Yeah, so this medicine may help, and it may also need to do a sleep study, because if you have a sleep disorder will contribute to all the symptoms that we've described as well, including obstructive sleep apnea. So this is why you need to go see your doctor. You are depressed.
I do have sleep apnea, but I can't use the machine. I get allergies.
Well, then your depression can't get well if you're not getting sleep. no matter what we do, if you're not getting the normal sleep, you have to talk with your doctor about getting on a some type of a treatment that can help you get your sleep. So if you have sleep apnea, you've got to get that treated.
Okay.
All righty?
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lily. Merry Christmas to you.
You all have a wonderful Christmas, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that's good news. You gave her some good news there, Dr. Jennings, that there are things that can happen. There are things that she can look forward to. And I, listening to her, I'm thinking maybe she's just sad and lonely. Does that make sense? Because can loneliness cause that kind of problem?
Well, that's certainly a factor as well. We didn't get to explore all the various nuances here, but she clearly needs to go see her physician, who can evaluate all the contributing factors to why she is in a depressed state, which would include sleep, would include nutrition, would include physical health problems, would include certain medicines maybe she's on if she has health problems, would include her social circumstances. So you evaluate all those contributing factors, and you bring remedy to those that need to be remedied.
All right. Very good. Well, we might have time for one more call. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. 800-775-4673. I've learned a lot today listening to you, Dr. Jennings, and one of the things that I have taken home from this is the Christmas season is a time where we need to be focusing outside of ourselves. If we start focusing inside of ourselves too much, we can cause a lot of problems for ourselves. We need to be focusing outside. Am I on the right track here?
This is what Christmas is all about, the season of giving, the season of altruism. And we know from many multiple studies that when we really give from the heart, so you can give in order to give and you can give in order to get. Mm-hmm. Giving in order to give is healing, brings peace, brings joy. Giving in order to get does not bring healing. It brings frustration and irritability.
Mm-hmm. It just reminds me again of how much we are in charge of our lives and how much we have let go. We've let other people, other experiences take charge of our lives, but we are the ones really in charge. And I invite you, listener, to give yourself the best Christmas gift you can think of for this year, and that is, I am going to be in charge of what's happening to me. I'm going to be proactive in my health, in my mental health, in my spiritual health, and in my physical health. I'm going to make the difference that I need in my life, starting right now. Good Christmas present to give to you. Okay, our time has flown by. The music is beginning, and I want to tell you, listener, of the website comeandreason.com. You can check that out. Lots of good stuff there. Also, program archives. If you have a specific problem, then you can look at the names of the programs. They'll give you a pretty good idea of what the program's about, and you can listen to them right there in the comfort of your own home at any time. If you can't sleep, if Lily's awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, Lily, go there and listen to a program. You'll enjoy that. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for being with us today, and Merry Christmas to you, sir.
You too. Merry Christmas to our listeners.
Absolutely. And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Timothy Jennings, inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.